Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is a continuation on our Ephesians passages, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 to 33. Let us bow our heads in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, may our lives be pictures of Christ's love and forgiveness. Bless the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts, that they may be pleasing in your sight. Amen. The institution of marriage is in crisis today. The foundation of our relationships between a man and a woman are under attack. Due to low morals, self-serving attitudes, zealous ambitions, and the overall decline in commitment between spouse and family, this sacred union of husband and wife is becoming in danger. A recent report found that Americans are getting married less, and cohabitation and remarriage are on the rise. The destruction of marriage today in the world points to a greater reality. It points to a greater reality that is taking place around us. It points to our fractured relationships between that and us and another individual, and that and God. In our assigned reading, we heard about marriage. But like I told some of you before, and I'll tell you today, sometimes the lectionary committee lacks this common sense. Because they forget certain verses that make this verses understand even more. So today I want to hear these verses that appears before today's reading, verse 21. That sets the context of today's reading. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Then it says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And then immediately after today's reading, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. These words from today's reading, when I do pre-marriage Bible studies with couples, often cause a lot of tension, causes a lot of squirm, a lot of flushing and embarrassment. Because people do not like to hear these words that Miles read for us this morning. They don't like pastors speaking about such words. It is one of those passages that many pastors opt and say, let's preach the Old Testament or the Gospel reading instead. It's a passage that we do not want to touch with a 10-foot pole. Because they cause many people to say, ugh. But apart from Christ, we all fail to submit and love others and God. First, we fail to submit. We are people that reject submission throughout our lives. For if anybody tells us you ought to do this thing or that thing, we like to rebel. We are Americans. We are free to do what we want anytime we want to do it. From a very young age, we fail to submit. As children, we are told from our parents, clean up your room, put away your toys. What did we do? We threw our temper tantrums. We threw our fits. We cried because we did not want to do it. And then we become teenagers, right? Become teenagers and we get this thing that we like too, that our prize and joy when we become teenagers. We get out and say, I got my license now. We got our license, right? We think we got the freedom in front of us. We have the keys in our hands. We have gas in the gas tank. But we do pray to submit to our parents. How often have we broke the curfew that our parents set for us? As adults, we're no better than that child or that teenager. Whether it's driving on Interstate 84 over here, where it says 65 miles per hour, how often are we tempted to go 66 miles per hour or faster? Or how tempted are we tempted to go faster right down here on Kimball over the speed limit? Or we are tempted to find those loopholes in the tax code so that we don't have to pay Uncle Sam more money. When we do such things as these, we are not listening to what Paul is saying in today's reading and also before today's text. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Not only that, we are also breaking God's commandment when we break what Paul says. We are breaking the fourth commandment. Honor your father and your mother. Throughout our lives, we are constantly despise our parents and other authorities instead of honoring them, serving and obeying them, loving and cherishing them like God commands us in Scripture. Not only do we break the fourth commandment, we also are breaking the first commandment. You shall have no other God. We fear, we love, we trust in ourselves over and above God, and even those he has put over us as well. This leads us to our next point. We fail to love God as intended. What we sinful human beings often call love is actually called selfishness. As children, we behave a certain way at a store in order to get that treat or that toy that our parents promised us. And we become teenagers, we sometimes compromise our morals and our beliefs or even ourselves so that people think we are cool or so that they will like us in return. This behavior continues on into our adulthood as well. There are times that we rub shoulders or buddy up to our bosses, thinking that somehow we can earn their favor to get that promotion or that raise at our job. As parents, we buy certain gifts, or our grandparents buy certain gifts, in order that our grandchildren or our kids might like us more, or maybe another individual we buy them that gift so that they like us better. Or as spouses, we think that if we do something nice for our spouse, then they will do something nice in return. We live in a world that is a reward-based society. We believe if we do A, B, and C, that we will get X, Y, and Z in return. We do these things always for our self-serving benefits. As a result, we are not wives who submit to our husbands. We are husbands that do not love our wives. We are children who disobey our parents. We are not loving our neighbors as ourselves. Therefore, when we don't love our neighbors as ourselves, we are not loving the Lord our God. Our lack of submission and our abundance of selfishness is in plague our thoughts, our words, and our deeds, which make us defiant towards God. This disobedience towards God is not taken lightly. It deserves to be punished. It deserves something more than a stern scolding. a timeout, a possession being taken away, or a spanking that we got as kids. It deserves worse than a speeding ticket, being fined, or being written up at our work. We deserve worse. Our first parents' disobedience and their selfish love when they ate from that forbidden tree and that forbidden fruit in the Garden of Eden brought death. Death upon themselves, their offspring, and upon the world. Therefore, our disobedience and our selfishness brings about the punishment of death. In addition, our sinful love and our lack of submission deserves even worse. It deserves an eternal torment, completely cut off from the presence and the blessings of God, our Father. Yet, in the midst of all this, in the midst of our lack of submission and our selfish love, God doesn't. He doesn't punish us the way we insubordinate and loveless individuals deserve. God the Father shows us mercy. He rescues us. He rescues us by sending His only begotten Son to the earth to become the God-man, to be Jesus the Christ. Christ is the one who restores our relationship. He is the one that mends our relationship with His Father, our God, so that by His working in us, we can willingly submit and love toward Him and towards one another. He does it. Jesus restores our relationship to His Father by submitting Himself wholly and entirely to the Father's will. His love for us fulfilled His Father's command in our place, in our stead. Not only that, but Jesus submitted Himself to suffering and dying the death punishment we deserve. He suffered the death penalty that we all deserve for our willing defiance of His Father. He is the one that took your place and my place on that cross. It is by Jesus' passive and obedient life, death, and resurrection that Jesus has destroyed. He has destroyed that eternal hold that death had upon us. Jesus now replaces eternal death with new life, an eternal life found in Him, where we will dwell with Him, His Father, and the Holy Spirit forever. So as we wait for Jesus to call us into His kingdom and for the fullness of everlasting life be ours own, we Christians still face struggles. We still face difficulties. We daily fail at living a life of submission and also love towards others. Wives refuse to submit to their husbands. Husbands refuse to love their wives. Children are disobedient. Interpersonal relationships are tense. Yet, amidst all this chaos, in the midst of all these difficulties, Jesus works continuously in our lives through His blessed word and sacrament of baptism and the Lord's Supper, so that we are worked through by Jesus to fulfill those roles that God has called us to be whether it's that of being retirees, whether that of being students, whether that's being that of children, grandparents, dads, moms, workers, whatever God has called us to be, Jesus works through us to submit to others and to love others. And it is in our baptism where we are robed with Christ's righteousness that covers all our defiances and all our selfish love. Therefore, God sees us. He sees us now in Christ Jesus and His submission and His love alone, which makes us worthy before God. For He is the one alone who makes us worthy of God, now and forever. Amen.